This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
To the Divas Dish, and I have three other divas with me, three divas of the theater. I've had Kimberly Bryant on here with me before. We've talked pageants, we've talked theater, and I have her little sister, Candace, who's not so little, who's grown up, and she's directing her big sister in a show, which is no pressure, Candace, right? No pressure. Some of those childhood things come up. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Now I get to boss you around a little.
She has always bossed me around. Make no mistake. She has always bossed me around. Since she was 7 years old, she's been the boss.
That's okay. Now, Candace, are you the baby of the family?
I am.
Yeah, I'm the baby of the family, too. I totally get that. All right. And also joining us, we have Brianna, who is playing Laura. And you guys are all doing the Glass Menagerie. And it goes up on the 9th, running through the 12th. Let's talk about, first of all, the theater, the location, and why you chose to direct this play. Because it's a great play. A lot of folks are going for Christmas theme or holiday theme right now. You're going for something that is just always up my alley. Tennessee Williams. So let's talk about Candace. Let's go to you first. Or is this just the luck of the draw? What came up, or is this something that was burning in you to direct?
It's something actually that I was going to direct about 6 years ago when I was in college, and ended up changing projects and going a completely different avenue and doing a Fosse dance project. So we've kind of been, since then I was planning on directing, and I know Kimley's, you know, looked at the part for a while, and Tennessee Williams is always on any actor's short list of things to do. It's a great play for the South, for any area, but you know, it's the classic, and a lot of theaters locally don't do American classics anymore. They're kind of doing the new avant-garde or the traditional musicals or like jukebox musicals and, like you said, Christmas themed things right now. So we're like, well, let's do something completely different. Let's do this. It's still about family, complicated families, which is what Christmas is all about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a tie-in. There's a way to make it holiday themed. But it's just a great American classic that hasn't been done here lately at all. And so we were like, let's do it. And it's a small, intimate cast that we can do, where we can do safely in a space, you know, indoors with precautions and everything for the time we're in now. So
okay, perfect. Let's talk about the space that you were in, because I'm intrigued, because I was speaking with Kimberly earlier and she said, oh, we're transforming this and we're transforming this, and oh yeah, that cross is going to come a window, and I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, so there's we're in a chapel, the original chapel at Traveler's Rest United Methodist Church, actually where I was baptized many, many moons ago. So it's kind of really cool and nostalgic that way, and it's a beautiful little space. And for me, like, I just kind of saw it immediately. I see, oh, this could easily be the Wingfield apartment in St. Louis. And you know, just bring in the furniture, a couple of set pieces. We can do some lighting that we, of course, had to bring in as well, because there's no theatrical lighting in a little chapel. So we set that up and get some music system going, the cross hanging up there, I said, okay, I can't take that down. That's been there forever. They're not going to let me take that down. What do I do? And I was like, well, that's like a window pane. I'll just make a little frame and make it look like a window.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. And the church is historic itself. In fact, I'd have to look. We have a historical society in Traveler's Rest. In fact, some of them visited during one of our rehearsals. And so the play takes place in the 1930s. And I'm pretty sure some of that space was there at that time. So it's pretty creepy and very appropriate in so many ways. And
perfect. It was just meant to be.
We've got a fire escape, and you know, you do have to use your imagination to some degree, but I think that we've all done a good job, director and actors and stage crew, of creating that space. And I really think when you walk in, you'll kind of forget that you're in a church chapel, because go next door. The sanctuary is still intact. We'll visit on Sunday and worship there at Travelers Rest United Methodist Church.
Perfect. Perfect.
We're very grateful to them, I should say, too. We're so very grateful to them. They also let us rehearse there when we did our first ever Travelers Rest Theater Festival, which all of us participated in this past summer. And even several years ago, when Candace and I first started this theater company and we were doing Into the Woods, even though we ended up producing that show in Spartanburg, we rehearsed there. So we're really grateful to them for helping us transform rooms and into theater spaces.
I love that. That's so perfect. It's perfect. Let's talk about, you said that, you know, people have to use their imagination. That's what you do. You take the audience on the ride, on the journey with you. And if you believe the space you're in, they're going to believe the space you're in. So. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I really have finally come to do that. It's taken a little while. Luckily, we've had, even Brianna's brought in things. We've all brought in things that we just happen to have. And our wonderful Tom, who plays my son, Craig Smith, happened to have some things that he let us use that were very of the period. And it really, again, has transformed it.
I love that. I've done shows where we've all brought in different set pieces and things that mean something to us, because it feels like you have something of your history on stage with you. So it's just like a little good luck charm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, because I was thinking when we were going to do this, and we did choose, and I'm sorry, I'm going to let Brianna jump in here in a minute. We did choose to use this space because we did look for other spaces, and a lot of them we were not able to use because of COVID still. We had talked to other venues, but it kind of reminded me in a way of doing scenes in my acting class, which I did for years and years and years in New York. And we did bring in our own props and sometimes costumes. Now we are using costumes that are more a period that we have rented, but we did, again, when you bring in something of your own, it does, like you said, it makes it personal. And that's what reminded me of being in class. And I know some actors do that on sets. They're able to bring in something of their own.
Yeah. I did on Golden Pond a while back, and I had one of the way off pictures in the background was of my grandparents when they were dating. So that's one of those things that made the scene for me, because I knew they were on stage there with me. So Miss Brianna, let's get to you. Let's talk about you playing Laura and working with the Bryant sisters and working with this theater. All right, ladies, turn your ears off. I'm just kidding.
I've had a really great time working with them both. Like Emily said, we all worked on Midsummer together in the Shakespeare Festival. But I've learned a lot from both of them, because both of them are very experienced actresses, and it's just been a really great experience. I'm kind of new to the theater, so I'm always open to doing new shows and learning new things. And this is my first Tennessee Williams show, and I really love his writing, and it's just been a really great show to work on.
Perfect. Perfect. So that, you know what, you're blessed, because you're newer to the theater and you have experienced actors around you. That's wonderful. It's nice, because I've had people take me under their wing as I was coming along. And it makes you feel safe. It makes you feel welcome in your family. And you couldn't be in two better sets of hands. Let me get that straight.
Yeah, it's been really great.
All right, perfect. Now, how do they get tickets? I know you sent me the Eventbrite link. I will have that up. But let's tell everyone listening where they can get tickets, how they can see the show, and anything else they want to know.
Great. Okay. So you could go right to our website, which is screp.org. That's S-C-R-E-P, screp.org. And that will take you right to a link if you'd like to do it that way. If you're old school, like a lot of folks are, you can give us a call. And I've got the number back here, so I've got my cheat sheet. 864-660-3423. If you want to do it that way, I believe, now let me check in with my director and my co-founder here. I believe we can do some tickets at the door. However, we are taking COVID protocols. So we are wearing a mask and we are limiting seating. I think at this point we have space. Is that correct, Candace?
Yes, there should be space at each show. Sunday is filling up It's the matinee, so it's typically going to fill up a little faster. So if you want that, better jump on it real fast. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there's still availability. And yes, we would prefer advanced sales just to limit that line at the door and having the interaction with purchasing with someone. So, and it's always just easier for everybody to streamline the process there.
Yeah, and I would say too, maybe even, you know, it'd be helpful if you have, it's so strange to say this as an actor, exact change would be helpful, you know, and we'll have a young person at the door who will be, you know, helping out with that and handing out programs. But yeah, it'd be great if you can, because then of course you can use your credit card and, you know, come and support us. We really need an audience. That's the last final touch.
Exactly.
Saying that at the door, it would need to be cash or check only.
Yeah.
Perfect. And, and I was going to ask the ticket prices.
Yes, $15 each, and that's just a flat across the board. So yeah, if you have that, we'll try to make sure we have some change, but hopefully have that.
Perfect. You guys answered all my questions. Now let's ask what's next for the theater. As most theaters do, you do the breakdown, and that always kills me when you strike the set.
Yes.
Strike the set. That breaks my heart because it's like a little piece. And my youngest son, he just finished doing Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And he goes, Mom, I wish it would have gone on forever. And I was like, yes, I know, honey. It's like losing a friend when a show closes. But just another one's going to open back up and you get to make a new set of friends and a new set of this. And you become a new character. So, but yeah, what's next after we strike the set, which is soul crushing for me?
Well, because we're such a young theater, we haven't ever done a season reveal or had a full season announced. And so we are still thinking about that, but we are collaborating with the City of Travelers Rest. They absolutely want us to come back to the Trailblazer Park and do something like a Shakespeare in the Park, which we did last year. We did not only Shakespeare in the Park, Midsummer Night's Dream, but we also did something we called Phantom in the Park, which was a concert version of Phantom. And I brought down some of my Broadway colleagues and some local talent as well. So we'll probably do something like that. We are going to try not to do it in August this year. We all burned up. I think the audience, it got a little bit cooler for them. But we did that last year because, again, of COVID, because they wanted to push things. So I'm not exactly 100% sure of the dates, but I have been talking with the City of Travelers Rest. We also did just collaborate with them, and we had Dickens Carolers participate in their holiday hop. So we were represented there, and they're going to do, it has not been officially announced, but I'll tell you now, they're going to do a sort of an Easter spring event, and they do want us to have representation. They've been talking to me about doing something there. It won't be a full production. It'll again be sort of an appearance of a character or something that we sort of provide. But then later in the spring or early summer, we hope to do another one or two shows in Trailblazer Park.
I think that's wonderful because Travelers Rest gets so much credibility now. If you grew up here like I did and like the two of you did, you remember what Greenville used to look like before it was transformed. And now Travelers Rest, now it's transformed and all the trails, the Swamp Rabbit and all the wonderful little restaurants and shops.
We need a theater. I mean, Candace.
Exactly. It's time.
We were talking about all these other smaller towns. I guess you'd say it's funny to say a suburb of Greenville since I spent so many years in New York, but Travelers Rest is sort of a suburb of Greenville. And so Candace, you were saying that about, you know.
They all have a theater. Some of them have more than one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Travelers Rest is just as big, if not bigger, than these towns.
And, and growing.
That bandwagon. It's growing. And
they want it.
You know, they need that.
There's so much traffic going through there, foot traffic. You've got the wonderful places to dine. Why not have, you know, dinner and a show?
Exactly. Brianna, I know you were not only participating in our theater this summer, you were doing some other things there at the Trailblazer Park, as I recall. So though you don't live in Travelers Rest, you actually come on over to our side of the
Yeah, I live in Duncan. And we don't have a theater in Lyman or Duncan either. So it would be nice to get one over here one day.
I mean, look, what my dream is to actually tour, you know, a production. I mean, we could almost pick this one up and go right over to somewhere in Duncan. maybe not this time, but in the future.
Yeah, you know, I totally think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I'm excited. I've been excited ever since the two of you started this theater and watching the press releases of we're going to do this and we're going to do that. So I am so proud and I am so excited for your show. And it opens on the 9th, runs through the 12th. And once again, they can get tickets through Eventbrite. I'll have that up on our website. But remind us again the number they could call if they wanted to.
Yes.
Old school. Like you say, old school.
Old school. And of course, the website is screp.org. So www.screp.org. Mm-hmm. Or you can call 864-660-3423. Did I get that right, Candace?
Yeah.
It's right behind me if we've got some video.
Yeah, we do. I just have to zoom in with my eyes. Yeah, because like I told you, I got down the road and I realized I forgot my contacts. So I'm like, I think there's a number there. I can't be sure. I'm not sure. I'm just going to wing it. I'm going to go, yeah, you're right.
And the play, I'll just say, you know, there's some sad aspects, but there's a lot of light. You know, there's some comedy moments in there, too. And you might even recognize a few relatives here and there. You know, it's a different time period. There's a character who maybe in these days might be diagnosed with special needs, a type of special needs. And that's something that's near and dear to our mission, outreach to the autistic community and the autism community. So there is a character who might have been, you know, in today's world diagnosed and gotten more aid and more help. Mm-hmm. And in this time in the 1930s, there was no help for a single mom or a person with special needs, such as a mental health issue. So there are some big issues in there, but there are also some light moments.
It's a beautiful show. It is a beautiful show, well written years and years and years ago by someone who obviously knows the South.
Yes, but it doesn't take place in the South, I should mention. Really, yeah,
exactly. But the Southern character, like we talked about the mother.
Absolutely. Oh, you definitely get that picture painted for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
My job. And Candace's, of course.
If you've been transplanted anywhere or know someone that's been transplanted from the South to a different city, that Southern shows no matter how hard you try to hide it.
Right. You bring it with you.
Exactly. It's part of our charm. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. And we look forward to the show this coming weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
An Odyssey Station.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.